What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 493. And even though we podcasted last week, I still feel like I'm pretty rusty. Like I don't feel I don't feel like we're back in the zone yet.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, of course. My trusty sidekick Ryan is here. How's it going? How's the weather in Wichita?
It's actually been kind of cooled off a little bit and been rainy. We got a lot of rain last June as well. Had some severe weather. There's actually while we were gone, I was gone last weekend, and there was a tornado just north of Wichita that actually somebody died in.
Whoa, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, like, it was one of those that it spun up and was only on the ground for like 2 minutes and like hit a manufactured home, mobile home type of thing.
Yeah. Wasn't it like last year we were doing the podcast and you're like, yeah, I gotta get you had to get off because of the weather and everything. I remember that.
It was maybe it was right before, I think,
or something.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yep. That's,
you know, when it's mid, what would you call it? Like the Midwest, right?
Midwest. Yeah.
Midwest, super flat, just tornado alley, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not good.
Other than that, no, it's good. We're good.
Well, that's good.
Really, I'd ask you how the weather is, but everybody knows it's sunny San Diego. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's been great. It has felt good to be back from like the hot, humid Asia weather. So it's been nice to like be able to go outside and not just be hit by the heat, you know? So definitely enjoy that. But we have a ton to talk about this week. Of course, the big thing this week, Steam Machine pricing. And I think both of us were, I remember my price. I don't know what, if Ryan,
I don't remember.
You don't remember your price. I remember my price. I was off a little bit on the pricing, but we have Steam Machine pricing. We have some pretty interesting retro keyboards come out. We're going to be talking about a really cool, which I'm still using. It's right here. This keyboard from Asus ROG. Really awesome. Sort of their second generation magnetic switch keyboard. We're going to be talking about that. And we have a bunch of other stuff as well. And this week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at MSI and their MPG A1250GS PCIe 5 power supply, which you can see right here. Now, the cool thing about this power supply is that if you are doing AI, and we don't hate you completely if you're doing AI, even though you're stealing all of our memory and things like that, this has dual native 12VH PWR power connectors. So you actually get two of them. So again, if you are running dual graphics cards, this power supply can handle that, and you get the native connectors, so no adapters or anything like that, which is really, really nice on here. This is, of course, 80 plus gold certified. It's also Cybernetic certified. It is just a really, really nice power supply overall. Fluid dynamic bearing fans, and again, these will turn off when the power supply is in an idle state. Just a really good power supply. And one thing that MSI did pioneer, I have to say, is the color on the connector, so you know it's plugged all the way in. There's so many protections now, but this is like the OG protection. And of course, this power supply, of course, has that as well. And you get individually sleeved cables. So it's not like the flat cable. These are individually sleeved cables. You can kind of see them right here. Just makes for a really nice like look inside your system. I guess I'm okay with the flat cables that you see on so many power supplies, but the individually sleeved cables, just a little bit more premium, I would say, for sure. So if you want to learn more, you can go to thinkcomputers.org/A1250GS, and that will take you to the product page. And of course, you can pick this one up on all of your favorite retailers as well. And talking about retailers, it is Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Prime.
Is this like the normal Prime? We have so many of them, it feels like. Is this the normal one or not?
I feel like they do this because like they need sales. Like they need things to go on. Or
they just spin something up, yeah.
Sale, right? Because what happens, and this is... if you have like a plugin or anything that tracks the pricing... Like the price of something will like go up for 2 weeks before Prime Day and then go back down to its normal price and then be on sale.
Yep.
So I guess before we jump into anything, did you buy anything for Prime Day?
Things in my shopping cart that I do know are on sale, because one of them is something I bought already. Okay. I bought a dash cam for my car. Okay. A couple months ago. I've been really happy with it. It's got a front and back and does a whole bunch of stuff. And I want to get one for my wife's car because we're getting ready to go on like a long road trip coming up in about a month. And so I wanted to have one for that. And it's like, I don't know, 25% off, but you know, that's like 50, 60 some dollars off. So I got that in there. And like my wife wanted, is it an immersion blender? Is that what they're called? Where you like kind of like a food processor thing. We got one of those there ready to order. I'm just like trying to just do one order because I hate ordering something and then like 4 hours later you do something else and then they can't either put it together or like you order something the next day and you're like, damn it, now I got two shipments coming and I just feel like wasteful. So
They have recently, I've done that and then I forgot and they're like, oh, add to tomorrow's order. Like you don't even have to check out. You just like, it's on the website. You just click add to tomorrow's order. Sometimes you can do that. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get that more often because they're, I think they're building another Amazon fulfillment center around here. So
nice.
That'll help out.
Yeah, I didn't really see much. I ordered a couple of things, but it's like, I always say this every year, or maybe a couple times a year, because again, there's multiple Prime days now, but I usually just order things that I need like around the house, like body wash and like paper towels and like, because it's just, it's on sale and it just like makes sense to get it. But there wasn't anything big this year that I wanted to get. Storage is a hellhole right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like even if you wanted to buy it, it doesn't make sense to buy it because it's so expensive.
Yeah. So I'm always like big on getting storage during the Prime days, but just no good deals there. Don't really need anything else tech related. I've been looking at a couple cameras to get, but I haven't really done my research. The DJI Osmo Pocket 4 Pro, the big one that has the two cameras, that just came out, which I don't even think you can technically buy in the US, but you can get it, obviously. And then the Luna? Who makes that? Insta360 Luna. That's the other one that I was looking at. But again, I haven't done my research on these, so like I don't know, you know, if they're good or not or anything like that. I haven't had time to do that yet. So probably, and those probably wouldn't be on sale anyways for Prime Day, but those are the only things that I was really thinking about getting. But I don't think a lot of people are excited for Prime Day just because it's like, at least tech people, like tech stuff is just not, maybe like if you're maybe like, I didn't
not even the things really we want to be on sale, right? Like everybody's probably bought the stuff that they want that they can afford and now they're like, all right, anytime this memory storage can get cheaper.
And I don't think you're seeing any of those deals from what I've seen. So but we will jump right into our reviews this week. I did mention or didn't mention that we do have our full show notes page up that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So as I click through and we click through, you can do that with us. Or if you're listening later, of course, you can reference any of the reviews or articles or anything that we talk about this week. So we'll start with the keyboard that's still in front of me because it is quite good. It is the Asus ROG Falchion Ace 75HE. I would say this is their second generation of their magnetic switch keyboard. I actually reviewed the Falchion Ace HFX, which was their first magnetic Hall Effect keyboard about a year ago. So it's been a year. They revamped the switches. That's one of the biggest changes they've made on this keyboard. And they've actually made it bigger. So the Falchion Ace HFX was 65%. This moves up to a larger 75% keyboard. If you're wondering what the difference is, 65% doesn't have the function row. This has the function row, so it makes it a little bit better, especially if you're like a MOBA or MMO gamer and you have that function row set for macros and things like that. Those are kind of the biggest changes. And when it comes to the switches, we do now have their ROG HFX V2 magnetic switches, which you can see right here. And the big thing with these switches, which is actually a massive improvement, They actually have shorter travel distance and a lighter actuation force. So they're easier to press and they have shorter travel overall. So again, magnetic switch, meaning that you can set your actuation points. You can do rapid trigger. So if it's easier to press down, that actuation is going to be even faster. It's going to feel more snappy. So I like that. They're now using a palm stem too, and that's lubricated. So it's going to give you a nice smooth feel. Also, the stem has a box design. So one of the things I hate on especially magnetic switch keyboards, especially when you have like rapid trigger enabled, is key wobble and like accidentally pressing the wrong key. Like, you don't get that with this. So that was a massive change there as well. They've also made the actual magnet in the switch bigger, and this allows them to have more fine tuning when it comes to setting your own actuation point. So now you can set it in 0.01 millimeter increments. So you can like exactly fine tune how far down you want to press each switch. So again, if you guys are new to magnetic switch keyboards, the biggest thing and most important thing you can do is you can set how far down you press the key to it actually actuates and does the command. So normal mechanical switch keyboards, whatever switch you have, whenever that presses down, it's always set to whatever the switch is. With magnetic switches, you can set that, and you can set it for each individual switch. So like, you can have your WASD set to one thing, and then you can change that. Also, you can do what's called rapid trigger. So what rapid trigger does is, as soon as you let go of the key and it starts coming back up, you can immediately press it down again. So again, with a normal mechanical key switch, you have to wait till the switch resets. This, as soon as it goes back up, you can press it back down, which is good. You can also do speed tap or snap tap, which allows you to hold down one key and still use another key. So you can actually strafe a lot faster. That's been made illegal in some games, so be careful with that. But you can do it with this keyboard as well. You can also have like different actions. You know, if you press down a key, if you're letting go of a key, you can have it do another command as well. There's a lot you can do with the magnetic switches, which I absolutely love. It's just like, if you want to fine tune your gaming experience with a keyboard, magnetic switches are definitely the way to go. So having the upgraded switches, which they've made those, you know, those really nice refinements from their V1 switches to their V2, it just gives you a lot more fine tuning. And again, things like the block design for the stem and everything like that, it just, again, all the things that I didn't necessarily say I didn't like, but like were concerns with their Gen 1 keyboard. Now with this one, it's just kind of been nice and upgraded, I would say. So I definitely like that. Also, this keyboard has a lot of the same features we saw on other Falchion keyboards. So you have your touch bar right here. So the circle button right here allows you to switch between different actions. And then you actually, like with your finger, you just slide across. So this can be volume, this can be different settings. You can easily go ahead and do that. Really easy to go ahead and do. So I definitely like that. And then on this side, you have a rapid trigger, basically switch. So you just switch rapid trigger on and off. By default, it's just set to WASD. This just makes it really easy. If you're jumping into a game, you can just turn it on. You don't have to go into your settings or anything like that, or even do like a function command to turn rapid trigger on. It's just a simple switch that just turns it on and off, which I definitely like there. And then maybe you're in game and you want to change your actuation like on the fly, you can actually go ahead and do that. So there is this little roller, which again, you would think this is for volume, but this is actually, you can use it to set your actuation really like for each switch very quickly. So it's just nice that you have all that, so you don't have to like jump out of game and go ahead and do that. Beyond that, this is wired only, 8,000 hertz pulling rate. So it is going to be wired only. One of the adjustments that they made, which you can see in this picture up top here, is they made the type C cable go off the keyboard at an angle, so it's out of the way, and you can make it go either direction. So you can go left or right off of the keyboard. I actually do like that quite a lot. So you have that there as well. PBT keycaps, of course, and these are like really rough, which I'm a fan of. Some people might not be a fan, but these are rough keycaps, which actually feel really great. PBT means that you're not going to get wear or shine on this keyboard. Like, I've been using this keyboard maybe for like before I left for my trip, so like a long time, and it looks essentially like brand new. Like, that's one thing I love about the PBT keycaps there. So really, really like that. And one thing I didn't mention, which is something new that Asus did with this keyboard, is that it comes with this hard shell carrying case. So it's a really nice hard shell carrying case that holds the keyboard, and then holds like the keycap puller and switch puller. And one thing that's also really unique about this keyboard compared to other Hall Effect magnetic switch keyboards is the magnetic switches are hot swappable. Now, they're with Asus switches only, but you can hot swap them, which, again, you don't typically see when it comes to magnetic switch keyboards. So you definitely get a lot with this keyboard. Another thing that they've upgraded, and one thing that I've complained about on this podcast at length, is Asus Armory Crate. Has been horrible over the years. It just got bloated. They kind of fixed that with Armory Crate Gear, which was, again, for like keyboards and mice, where it was just a lightweight version of Armory Crate specific to whatever product you were using. Yep. They've gone one further now. We have Asus ROG Gear Link, which is just, you just do it all through your browser online. So it gives you everything that you want to set within the browser, nothing bogging down your system or having issues with connectivity or anything like that. This just works. It's super simple and easy to go ahead and do. And again, I love that we're finally moving to the browser, right? We're finally getting Armory Crate off our system. If you want to, the only thing that I wasn't a fan of is that this is the only way to do it. You know, I have an Asus motherboard and graphics card, which I do control via Armory Crate. So I already have Armory Crate. I kind of want to use it with the keyboard, but I can't. The icon just shows up, and then it just takes me to the website to configure it. I don't know. Like, if I'm already using it, I kind of want to be able to use it. That's the only gripe that I have with that. Overall, though, like, this keyboard feels really good. I didn't mention it has 6-layer sound dampening as well, so it feels really good. It has a good sound profile. We do have a audio test of the keyboard, so you can hear what it sounds like. So I really, really like that. The lighting on this is good. Per key RGB lighting, really easy to change that around and everything like that. But yeah, like I said, just a good keyboard. And if you're somebody who's serious about gaming and you want to really fine tune your experience, this is definitely going to be that keyboard for you. It gives you so much in terms of options and fine tuning that you want, compared to other keyboards and even compared to other Hall Effect keyboards. You know, some don't give you that much fine-tune adjustment when it comes to setting your actuation points and things like that. I like the upgrades that they made essentially from the first generation to the second generation. Definitely like that as well. It is expensive. It's $219.99. You can get other magnetic switch keyboards for cheaper, even some that are wireless for cheaper. But I think with everything you're getting, the hard shell carrying case, again, those upgraded switches, just everything that they've done with this keyboard, I would say, again, if you're serious about gaming, you can definitely justify the price. So I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. Like I said, it's more expensive and there is no wireless version, at least not yet. I know some people definitely would want a wireless version, but overall, like I said, I like the keyboard a lot. It's still in front of me, which means I, you know, I'm still using it. So, so yeah, definitely like it. Corey asked in the chat, does it ever go on sale? Is it on sale for Prime Day? Oh, hey, look at that. $151.99. That's an amazing price. So it's on sale right now compared to when I reviewed it. So it was, $219, now it's $151. So what is that? Like 50, 60 bucks off?
Almost 70.
Yeah, $70 off. So that's a really good price. So yeah, I guess it does go on sale for Prime Day. So it's on sale right now if you want to pick it up. We have the link for it right here in the article right here. If you want to go ahead and pick it up, but that's a great price for it. That's even a better price than the $219 that it's on that was his original price. So definitely like that. So check out the review if you are interested, but a really great keyboard overall. And we'll move on to something that's so simple, but it's just like, I think the biggest thing, and we were kind of talking about this before we go on the podcast, is like, you're looking for a, you know, an SD card, right? Like, or a micro SDXC, which is this, like, this is the one that I reviewed. I'm going to try to put it in front of the camera. So tiny. There it is. So just a little, you know, memory card, right? And all of our devices take memory cards, whether they're cameras, whether they're security cameras, whether they're drones.
Handheld gaming.
Yeah, handheld gaming devices. They take these little cards, right? And I feel like most people, and even sometimes myself included, I go on Amazon or Newegg and I search whatever capacity I'm looking for. And then a lot of times I just pick the cheapest one.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're at fault because then when you put it into, say, like my DJI Osmo Pocket 3, like, and I want to record 4K footage at high bit rate, like the camera will say, like, no, this memory card cannot do that. Right.
Yep.
And you talked about some issues you had with the like Amazon memory card that you had. Right.
Right. Right.
So you want to make sure the memory card that you're getting can support whatever you're shooting or like a lot of read and write operations. So you don't have issues, right? You know, and especially that's really important when you're like, I would say even more important, again, I'll talk about how I use this memory card, but you know, when you're on vacation and when you're shooting like memories that maybe someplace that you'll maybe never return, like you want to make sure you have those memories captured, right? You don't want a stuttering video that like you can't use or you can't post on social media or whatever.
Yep.
So that's where ADATA comes in with their Speed Plus Micro SDXC UHS IU3 Class 10 card. That's a lot. But essentially it has speeds of 180 megabytes a second read, 160 megabytes a second write. It's UHS IU3 and V30 rated, so it will handle 4K video no problem. And I actually took this memory card, actually two of them, on my trip all through Thailand, and then to Taiwan for Computex, and then to China. Used it in my DJI Osmo Pocket 3, 4K 60. Video at high bit rate, no issues, no issues with files, no issues with anything. And it's a great memory card, and one that I relied on, because if any of our content from Computex got messed up, that'd be really bad. You know, and again, this, and same thing with like the stuff I shot in Thailand, you know, I want that footage for myself and to post to social media for friends and family or whatever. And like, if it's messed up, it's just not a good thing. So, so it's a great little card. Like I said, it comes with the adapter too. So, you know, like card readers these days, like they might not take this small card, or like if you were, you know, even like taking photos and stuff with this, if you like, a lot of times when you go to like print those photos at like one of those like kiosks, they only have the SD card slot. So it does have the adapter, which is definitely nice. You can get this in 64 up to 512 gigabyte versions. We got the 256. And here you can see how it goes in the adapter, like pretty simple. But overall, like I said, I used it with my Pocket 3. And you can see I also just tested the speeds pretty much right up to specifications when it comes to those speeds. And again, I didn't run into any issues recording 4K 60 FPS at high bit rate on my cameras. So no issues at all. And it's $44.99 on Amazon. It might be cheaper because it's Prime Day. Let's see. Oh, still $44.99. So not on sale for Prime Day. But even that price is is good compared to some of the other bigger brands out there. And again, knowing that it's going to perform at 4K, you know, at least 4K video, but it does, like, again, for me, it did 4K 60. And that was 10-bit video too. So yeah, no issues. I gave it a 10 out of 10. You want a reliable memory card. This one is definitely it. So whether you're using it in a camera, in a drone, in a mobile gaming device. Oh, talking about the mobile gaming devices, this is also A2 rated.
For gaming stuff.
Yeah, for gaming. So that means your IOPS is 5,000 IOPS read, and I think 2,000 IOPS write. So that's the highest program rating too. So again, if you are using this with a mobile gaming device, it's going to be good as well. So you're good there. So
cool.
So yeah. So check that out if you are looking for a really good memory card for cameras or things like that. Corey asked me, what's my thoughts on the Insta360 Luna Ultra? We were just talking about that. I haven't had time to do any research on it. I've seen it. I saw it in the store, Insta360 store in China. Oh, man. But I didn't really like play with it or anything. I got to see it in person. But I didn't get to play with it at all. I saw the DJI Pocket 4. The Pocket 4 Pro wasn't out yet, so I didn't get to see that. But I went in like multiple DJI stores, which is super cool, considering I use pretty much all DJI gear. So yeah. Gravity Hammer in the chat says, have you talked about the Steam Machine? Not yet. We're going to get to it in about probably 5 minutes. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we talked about this motherboard last week on the podcast about this kind of retro Asus
look,
motherboard that they came out with. And our good friend AK Mod did this, and I got to see this build at Computex, which is cool. And basically the idea of this build, we'll bring up a bigger picture of it, is that you have the motherboard in the middle, and this is the new board, which is made to look retro. And then you have like a retro looking system on this side. And then you have a newer sort of futuristic, you know, system on this side. And the whole idea is like, it's contrasting the 2006 versus the 2026. Really cool build. And it's really like, it was a really awesome showpiece in the Asus suite that I got to see at Computex.
And again, so good.
Yeah. Like with AK Mod, like just the attention to detail on everything, like the old floppy, and everything. And just awesome how he kind of built this and did the contrasting builds here, which was, I thought, super cool, super, super cool. And like, you can see how it's all put together like this in the back and everything. And just, yeah.
Does that fold together at all? Or what is it? Cause that's a huge build. Like when it's open like that, I didn't know if it like kind of folded together those sides. I'm not sure if that's like a custom. I'm sure it's some sort of custom frame it's built on. Either way, like super awesome.
Yeah, just
some people may think that like all these cables hanging out looks like messy or unorganized, but it's not. It's like it goes with that theme, and we've seen this on some other builds as well, where it's just
cool. It's sort of like a cyberpunky
sci-fi. I mean, again, you'd see this in a movie, right? Like as you know, your main character uses this computer or something. It's really cool.
Yeah, really cool. And like I said, it was cool to see it at the show, and you're like, oh, this is super cool. Like to show off the motherboard and then have again a new system and an older system. It just went together so well. So shout out to AK Mod for this one. And I think I forget, somebody told me AK Mod had like 30 builds at Computex.
Whoa.
Which is like a lot. Something like that. Something crazy. More than especially he had. Especially when
they're this level of quality and
custom.
Wow.
Yeah, so he had a lot. And we'll be covering those probably over the next months. So there's a lot of really cool builds at Computex as well. And I didn't get to cover all of them just because I was so busy covering other things. But yeah, like I said, really awesome. And again, you can see the two graphics cards here as well. One here and one, or maybe that is, no, that's a radiator. Yeah, I think the graphics card's there. So, but yeah, awesome. Like I said, shout out to AK Mod for this one. And again, if you guys want to check out Case Mods in general, If you go to the website, you go to articles, case month Friday. And I say this so many times, but like you can essentially just like scroll forever. Cause we've been covering case months for a decade at this point. So there's so much there. So yeah. So again, shout out to AK Mod for that one. And now we'll get into the news. So Gravity Hammer, if you're still here, we're going to be talking about the Steam Machine. You know, Steam Machine was announced, probably the worst time ever for it to be announced, because it was announced in like what, November?
Yeah, it was like 9 months ago or so.
And like literally the next day, RAM prices started just going straight up. And that affected storage and everything else. And, you know, it had been a while because some people were like, you know, they might not even release this thing because it's not going to make any sense. Yeah. So now we have, well, it's not a pre-order. It's like a notification of the, when you can pre-order. But we now have pricing for the Steam Machine. $1,049.
For the entry level.
That's entry level. That's no controller. Yep. That's 512 gigabytes NVMe storage. SSD. Yep.
16 gigs of memory.
Yeah. That's VRAM. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the 16 gigs plus eight gigs of VRAM on that AMD Zen 4 RDNA 3 SoC that they're using, right?
Yep.
I said 1300. So I was off.
I mean, not by much if you want the 2 terabyte, because 512 doesn't get you a whole lot of games in 2026.
Well, that's what I was thinking too, is that 512 gigabytes, like, you know, what's the install size of some of these games? Like, I remember like Call of Duty was like 300 gigs.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to pick and choose if you
go. Yeah, or it's like uninstall a game and then re-download it. And then like, you know. So $1,049 for the 5 gig with no controller. If you want the controller, it's $1,128. Then you move up to the 2 terabyte unit. The 2 terabyte unit is $1,349. That's without the controller. And then it goes up to $1,428 with the controller.
I feel like you've just got to include the controller across the board. You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't have an option without the controller.
Well, they could say, you know, we got it under $1,100. That's without the controller, you know? Yeah.
No, this is going to be tough.
How do you feel about this? Like, is this like, okay, so.
Well, I don't want to spoil like our question of the week, but I don't know. It's just bad timing, you know, bad luck coming in, like about to announce something that would be really cool. And now you got to like fight against something that you have no control over.
Yeah. I just think it's too expensive, but I mean, what are you going to do in this kind of client, like with everything going on? And we'll talk about the question of the week at the end of the podcast. But I just don't think for most people at this price, it just doesn't make sense.
Nope.
And it's not something that you can use for other things because it runs SteamOS. It doesn't do anything else except for game, right?
Yeah.
So if you were like, oh, I'm going to get this instead of a new PC, this only runs games. This, I mean, technically it runs Linux, so you could maybe find your way around that, but it does not run Windows. So it's not going to be like your normal Windows machine.
And I mean, at that price, it's like, okay. And if you also want the hottest game coming out later this year, GTA 6, you can't play it on this thing.
Yeah,
so you might, a console is a little better option in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean based on the price too, right? How much is the PS5 Pro?
I think they've gone up, both of them, because of the memory.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't follow console prices at all.
Pro. PS5 Pro is $899.
I mean, it's still cheaper than the Steam machine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The PS5 Pro is $899 currently. And that kind of brings us to our next article about the Steam machine, is that according to Valve, the Steam machine was supposed to launch at around $750, which would make it very competitive against a PS5 Pro, right? That's what people are paying for the PS5 Pro.
Yep.
This would make a lot of sense and maybe give you a little bit more flexibility when it comes to gaming.
Yeah, $750 would have felt a lot better. I presume that $750 though is the entry level price, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
So what's the? It was $1,049 all the way up to what was the top 2 terabyte in controller? 13 something.
14 with a controller.
14.
Yeah, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gravity Hammer said, I was thinking about buying it. Now I'm just going to use the money I was going to use on it to upgrade my PC. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's also not upgradable.
Yeah, I think you can upgrade the storage, right?
That's what I mean. It's not upgradable. Like you can't.
Yeah. Which doesn't like, make any sense right now.
In a couple years, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to get a GPU or like, you know what I mean? So it's not really, if you think about it, like upgradable, like in that.
Which way. I mean, we're used to with consoles.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's fair.
They've got a finite life.
What kind of graphics card is in the Steam machine?
It's a custom AMD, isn't it?
Yeah, let's go.
It was just on the previous article, I think.
Yeah. But it's like a custom SoC, so it's a system on chip that has your CPU and GPU together. It's an RDNA 3 GPU with 28 CUs on it, 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 VRAM on it as well. I don't know, man.
I want to see some reviews, right? Like,
see how it I haven't even
because maybe at any... you know, maybe they've done some work with AMD because it, like it said, it's semi custom parts, so maybe they made some tweaks that help it run really nice and get maybe some better performance than you'd get out of a console and things like that. So
yeah, but, and this next story is kind of like shady on the AMD's part. So this all was held until the Steam machine pricing came out. You know, and like this will probably steer a lot of people away from the Steam machine. So AMD FSR 4.1 upscaling is now available for Radeon RX 7000 series GPUs. So older GPUs now can take advantage of FSR upscaling. So again, if you want to run games at higher frame rates, you can now do it with FSR 4.1. And again, this was announced like the same day as the pricing. So they have some testing here. Like you can see, you know, native 4K on a 7900 XTX, 43 FPS with FSR upscaling, 64 FPS. So definitely nice there. And again, like 68 FPS going up to 73. So again, just like you could do your own Steam machine at like older hardware,
yeah,
you know, and still get FSR 4.1, which was like the big selling point of the Steam machine, but it's nice to see that, honestly, to get FSR 4.1 across the Radeon line is really nice. And again, this was always a value add from Nvidia. I still think Nvidia does it better, but still having, if you are on the AMD side, you are getting so much more of a value add compared to what you used to get. And again, I think for a lot of people, like they just want better frame rates. They're not like, again, pixel peeping and looking there. They just want better frame rates, especially if you're like hovering a little bit below 60 FPS and you just want to get, you know, you want to go from maybe like 52 to like 68 FPS, like just enable something like FSR and you'll be good to go. And again, it's nice that it's available on older Radeon cards, 7000 series. So it's definitely nice.
Nobody asked for this guy's opinion.
Yeah. Shinny says, I'm worried about the Steam frames price. Yeah. Is that even going to come out? Like,
who knows?
You know, like with everything, I feel like they might have to cancel some things, and that might be one of them. So
slow these things down. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to see these at Computex. Gigabyte officially launched their RTX 5080 Aorus Infinity Wood. And the Infinity series has expanded. So not only are you getting the wood variants now in the 5080s, so there's a light version and a dark version. I got to see both of these at Computex. Here's one of my pictures from Computex of the light version. Looks awesome.
Yeah.
But the Infinity series has now been expanded. So it used to only be 5090 on the normal ones. Now it's 5080, 5070 Ti as well. So the normal Infinity, that's not the wood ones, you can get in a 5080, but you can also get it in a 5070 Ti. So they're really, doubling down on this big dual fan type design. These actually do look really nice. So it's definitely nice to see that. And they're kind of expanding on that. Still very expensive. These do carry a heavy premium over a normal 5080 or 5070 Ti. But it's definitely nice to see that
they have a third fan inside, don't they?
Yeah, it's you can see it. Yep. It's kind of hard to see, but it's right there. They have a fan in there as well. But definitely nice to see these come down into, I would say, more affordable 5070 Ti and 5070 as well. I didn't mention that. So yeah, definitely nice to see that there as well. Would you get one of these?
I don't know. I mean, I got it.
Or would you get like, okay, so like, this is pretty high priced, right? This is, I believe this is their flagship card. Like, would you get this or would you get an Astral?
Oh, Astral for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I do have to say, I do like this design. I do like the wood design. Like the wood.
It looks good, but it's not my favorite. And it almost reminds me of that Asus card that I hate with the one fan on the end, you know?
Would you get this or that Asus card?
No, this. Okay,
you hate the 30th anniversary Asus card.
Okay, yeah, it's disgusting.
Okay, so yeah, I like this. They, and again, check out our social media. We have videos of systems they had with the wood motherboard, the wood graphics card, the wood power supply, and like a semi wood sort of case design. It was really cool. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where it makes the most sense is like, yeah, doing a wood build or like a, you know, on the Asus side of things, a pro art build, right? You're going with that themed type look.
Yeah. And they did, I did mention to them, you should sell all this as a package, right? You make essentially everything. You make, they had the case that they were using is their case, but they modified it to put some wood pieces on it. So it was like, sell me the case, the motherboard, the graphics card, and the power supply in a kit. So I'm essential. And they had they modified one of their AIOs to have a wood on the pump, yep, block. So sell me all of that as a package. So essentially all I have to buy is my CPU and my memory, right?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. So I kind of gave them that idea. So maybe they'll do that. I don't know if they'll do that, but they should give me credit if they do.
Yeah.
But in any case, talking about liquid CPU coolers, we talked about this last week, got to see this, yeah, in person. They are now available, Noctua NL-LC1 liquid CPU coolers. I just got these in the mail.
Oh, nice. So I've heard they perform really nicely. So
yeah, so they start at $219.90 for the 240. They have 240, 360, and 420 in these. And yeah, really excited to test these and see what they're all about. Of course, when Noctua does something, it's usually, they've taken their time with this. It's been like 2 years in the making on this, or yep, more, yep, for these AIOs. So they've really taken their time. So yeah.
It's got a little thicker radiator too, doesn't it? I think it's like a 30 millimeter.
Yeah. I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So And it has their fans, obviously, which are like some of the best out there. So really excited to test this. I'll be building a new liquid CPU cooler test system. I got it all. We got a lot of stuff in the works over here. So lots of stuff going on when it comes to that. So definitely stay tuned for that. Gravistar has a new keyboard. This is their Mercury K98 Pro. I reviewed the K1 Pro. This is the K98 Pro, and it's really cool. Like this black with the neon kind of cyberpunky matrix looking, but this one actually has a screen on it.
Yep.
Which cool. I thought was really cool. And like you can see with like the matrix looking colors, it just looks awesome. And I feel like Gravistar, and I saw a lot of Gravistar stuff at like these computer shops in Taiwan and China, where like you don't really see it like anywhere else. Nowhere. But I saw a lot of their stuff at a couple computer shops that I stopped in when I was in China.
It's very alien looking to me, right? Like,
yeah.
And again, like something you're going to find in a movie or on a set somewhere.
Yeah. And I thought about, I was like, oh, I'm done reviewing this keyboard. Do I want to swap it out? And I was like, man, that Gravistar is like, it just looks so cool on my desk. And it's super comfortable too. It's not like I was really surprised when I reviewed the K1 Pro is that it's not all looks. It is actually very comfortable, very responsive keyboard. So awesome keyboard there from Gravistar. And then if you're into retro,
these are cool too.
8-Bit Do released custom, themed keyboard and mouse to celebrate 30 years of Nintendo. Man, we're old. 30 years of Nintendo 64.
I was like, oh my gosh.
So this is their retro 87 keyboard. And then their Ultimate 2 wireless controller. They have these retro versions, which again have like that the teal plast, like that was the vibe when the Nintendo 64 came out. Oh, I remember like the different colors you could get from the Nintendo 64. Yep. Wow, man. Yeah.
I never had one, but
really?
Nope.
Never had 64. Oh man, it was the and there's the controller. So you can get a matching controller and keyboard if you want to, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they also have a really good price on their Mecha Break Panther Edition keyboard as well. And it's really good price. It's like $52 for their mechanical keyboard. Yeah, it's a nice one too. Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, awesome on that. And then not so awesome is that, you know, Microsoft 365 Copilot was like, it got so much backlash, and then they were putting AI in everything, and like,
yep.
You thought that Microsoft like got the message, like they heard, and they're like, you know, they said, we're going to halt auto installing Copilot apps on Windows 11. And we're going to stop.
Just kidding.
Kind of just kidding. Cause they will resume forced 365 Copilot app installations on Windows 11. So you'll get it forced again. I just feel like there's like somebody at Microsoft that's like, just nope. We're just gonna force you to do it. We don't care. It's like an old exec. He's like, yep, I don't care. He probably still smokes cigarettes. He's like in his office smoking cigarettes. He's like in his office smoking cigarettes, and he's like, nope. You're getting 365 Copilot. Yeah. Like, doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's got its place for some things, but it's the removal of choice, right? Like if you don't have the freedom to choose whether you want it or not, or if you get it and can't remove it, that's where I have the problem.
Not a fan, but you know, hey, like I said, you thought they listened to the backlash, and maybe that was like the newer community people and like, you know, the people that actually like realize how the internet works. And like they're like, oh, this community hates us, like they're calling it AI slop, and they're like, you know, they want us to like, you know, give them the choice. Like, yeah, like let's listen to our community. Let's listen to our users. And then again, the guy in the office who's like, you know, been at Microsoft for 30 years, smoking a cigarette. He's like, nope, Nope, I override it. No way.
Yep, here it comes.
Yeah, so it's just back in his...
Have it ready for next patch Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of sad. I thought Microsoft was actually like listening, you know, but I guess not. I guess not. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week, and I'm actually reviewing a laptop. So this is the MSI Stealth AI Copilot Plus PC, which I hate.
Speaking of Copilot,
I hate it. There's a dedicated Copilot button on this. There's a dedicated Copilot button on this keyboard as well. Just saying. But yes, this is actually a really nice gaming laptop. This is their Stealth series, and it's quite thin for a 16-inch gaming laptop. The version I have has a 5060 in it, 240 hertz, technically 14. It's 2560 by 1600, so it's QHD plus display, but it's OLED, 240 hertz. Yeah, and it has a Core Ultra 9 386H inside, Thunderbolt 4. It's actually a really nice gaming laptop, so I'll have this
review. I need to look into this one for my replacement. I'm like on the hunt, and I just can't find the right set of features and like thickness and everything.
Yeah, this is a good balance. It still weighs almost 5 pounds, so it's not like super light, but again, you have a dedicated GPU inside. It runs pretty quiet from my experience. The chassis is all aluminum, so it has a premium feel, rounded edges, so it's not like boxy.
I really wanted to go like 14 inch. I like six, yeah. Not that like 16 is huge by any means, but I've gotten spoiled by this 13 inch that I have now. And
yeah, the new Dell XPSs are nice. The 13 inch.
I looked at it. I wasn't.
Yeah. I don't know if they make a 14 inch in this. I know Asus does. That's like my daily driver is the Asus.
The Zephyrus
14 inch. I really like. Yeah, I've been using that for a while. It does run hot, which is a known issue with that one. But it is like I said, I do use it. It was my daily driver when I was away for 40 days in another country. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Stay tuned for the MSI laptop review. And then you're taking a look at a like super high-end gaming headset that you've been wearing the last two podcasts. Yeah. The SteelSeries Arctis Nova Pro Omni.
Yeah. No, I've had it on the last couple of weeks. I've got the navy blue color. It comes in a couple colors. Pretty high-end wireless headset here. You can see in that picture there's a couple batteries, so you can swap out batteries on it, and it kind of like that mouse you took a look at a while back. It's essentially, you know, you can run it forever because it does a very similar thing. You've got your dock there, right, with multiple inputs and outputs, plus that's where you charge the battery.
Oh, nice.
So I was wondering, yeah, this is like, and I talk about this a little bit in the review, is like my son's the perfect like customer for this. I don't think I'm gonna give it to him afterwards. I don't know, we'll see, because he's like
when you get something and you're like, I kind of want to keep it,
because he's got he'll be like playing Fortnite or Minecraft or something, right? So he has his headset on for that, but then he has one ear off and he has an earbud in that's attached to his phone with a video going, so he's got like not stereo audio going. So like if he's actually trying to play something competitive, like he's thrown off there, and I'm like, this brings it all together. Yeah. He could do all those things and mix it in, right? He could have the Bluetooth from his phone to the headset, also his, you know, PC hooked in here, and then like the switch that's in his room as well, you could wire in here, and you can mix them all together with their software and with the dock. So
nice. It looks really nice.
Yeah, it is. I've been really happy with it.
Yeah, we'll definitely be excited to check that review out next week as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. And that brings us to our question of the week. And we held off talking about the Steam Machine and the pricing. And again, the Steam Machine pricing is $1,049 without a controller, right? And that's for the 512 gigabyte version. So the question of the week is, if you had $1,000 to spend, would you buy the Steam machine or would you build your own PC with $1,000?
It's a weird question for us because we have stuff. But if I had neither, like if I didn't have a computer and I didn't have a console, I would probably go with the Steam machine.
Really?
Yeah, because I think $1,000, like you're going to end up, you're either going to buy a laptop that's kind of underpowered and probably doesn't have a dedicated GPU, right? Or you're going to like make so many compromises on building one that I think the Steam machine makes sense.
Okay. So just
go to Newegg and
no, I mean, not even building. Okay. So like, say like pre-built, right?
Sure.
So I just randomly, this is like not planned. So I just randomly went to CyberPower's website, right? They have this one. It's $1,049, same price.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so it's the same price. It's $1,049. Yeah. It looks like it comes with keyboard and mouse as well. So
14600K.
Yeah, so you have a where's okay, specifications. So and it comes with Windows. It you have the NZXT H510 mid tower, you have Core i5 14600KF, liquid CPU cooler, 16 gigabytes of DDR4, not horrible. Radeon RX 6700
terabyte SSD. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should look at pre-builds then.
Same price.
Yeah, I'd probably go with this.
And then the best part, it's upgradable.
It is, yeah. And it's going to have a warranty. Like if
warranty,
not that the other isn't going to, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
I gotta say, it looks cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
unless you're using it like in a living room scenario or something, then the small form factor of the Steam machine's probably gonna win it out.
But yeah, I mean, not horrible.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's same price.
I knew they were gonna do this.
Oh, hit that price.
Yeah. I just was like, I thought, you know.
Well, and especially on your home page, right? You put it.
Yeah, it's right there.
There are a couple systems there that like could even match up. Like if you put four systems here that all had the exact same price points as the other, that'd just be so dirty. I like that case though. Some of these cases are sweet.
Oh, this is the one that we saw at CES, or mm-hmm. You weren't there. Yeah, this is a really nice case. We have videos on this case. But yeah, pretty awesome on that. And then let's see what I buy. Does the I buy power do the same thing? $1,299. Yeah. So $1,299 Intel Core Ultra 5 355F, 5060, 8 gigs, 16 gigabytes of DDR5.
Yeah, 1 terabyte. So you're similar.
Yeah, you're pretty similar in like honestly, like again, we haven't spec'd out one that you can like build. Maybe this is probably better price than what you can build, but I still would build my own or buy a pre-built gaming PC. And again, like I'd still put one of these in my living room and I'd rather do that than the Steam machine.
Yeah, I guess I haven't, you know, looked at pre-builts in forever and didn't think you'd be able to hit that price point. I thought you'd be taking too many, I don't know, too many concessions on parts, but
yeah,
looks like a pretty good option.
This one's 1200, 5050, 8 gig in that one. But yeah, I just think that I'm not a fan. I mean, I have an iPhone, but I'm not a fan of things being like super locked down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it comes to like, again, my machine. And if you think about it too, it's like, you know, yeah, like if you're buying a Steam machine, you're using it to game. That's like what you're going to use it for. But it's also great to be able to use it for other things.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I guess you can stream on a Steam machine, but like it's easier to stream.
Really?
I think it's built into Steam OS where you can like, but I don't know how it works. I'm it could be wrong too. Right. But like, you know, what if I want to stream on this thing? What if I want to, you know, like, jump on Discord, like does that work on the Steam machine? I don't know, You know what I mean? Like, there's, or like, what if you get that like gaming headset that you use and like it uses software? Well, that software doesn't run on Linux, right? Like, you know, like, so I just like the idea of having my own gaming PC over, again, the Steam machine, just for those reasons specifically, and like in the price, right? So like the price is very relative. It's within the same price range. We saw one that's the exact same price. We saw one that's slightly more expensive at, well, there's one that's $12.99 and then there's one that's $11.99. And again, you can upgrade those and not just.
Not one component. Yeah. You can anything in there.
You can upgrade anything. You can add an AIO if you want later down the line. You can change the case if you want a better looking case down the line. Like, you can do so much more. So yeah, I would do that. So
okay.
So are you sticking to a pre-built?
No.
Or
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Okay. So you do a pre-built or build your own over buying the Steam machine?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah. I just think that's where we're at. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think the only people that may buy it are, like, again, people who just using it as like that console. I just don't feel like.
Or they may already have like a computer or a laptop, but it's not like for gaming, right? They got a $800 or $600 laptop from Best Buy that like gets them by for what they needed. Now they want a game, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel bad for anybody buying a Steam machine at that price. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. But yeah, that essentially is it for the podcast. Anything else tech related you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I don't think I bought anything lately.
I don't think. Yeah, that's essentially it. So, but yeah, definitely excited. We are going to be gaming tonight, which is
a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll be over on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will get that stream up. I'm going to make a quick dinner and probably be eating dinner while we're gaming. But I guess we're going to do some Apex. We haven't played in forever. I got to update. I got to open Steam up. I got to do all that stuff. So I'll be doing that while I make my dinner here really quickly. But really excited to be gaming. So again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers if you want to continue to hang out with us. And of course, thanks for everybody who was in the live chat. Of course, we had Corey, we had Gravity Hammer in there, we had Shinny Gaming in there as well. And of course, everybody that listens later, we definitely appreciate you as well. So until next week, we will catch y'all later.